Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Turn up Tuesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Little Scorpions, chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear loud, we'll crank it up. Send it to Nolan McGraw's UFO. Excuse me. I apologize. What is Michael Schenker kind of connected to some way or another? Ravens practicing today. No pads.
Right.
In pads yesterday. 2 days away from the preseason opener. Here to talk about that on the Regency Furniture Hotline. He's with USA Today. Ravens Wire. He's Kevin Ostreicher. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for joining us as always here on The Fan.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Well, what a busy Monday we had yesterday.
All right, you keep Justin Tucker, which is great news, and we just heard the cut during the update, for all intents and purposes, keeping him around for life. But the return of J.K. Dobbins, at least for me, was the more exciting news. So how does the rest of camp play out in your eyes for J.K. Dobbins before the 11th against the Jets?
Yeah, it's just a matter of taking it one step at a time. John Harbaugh kind of talked a bit about that yesterday. We're just kind of adding more and more to his plate, seeing where he responds to it, and I think that's the right approach. The Ravens have been taking that cautious approach all offseason with their guys. I'm assuming for the guys who are coming off the PUP list, that might be a little more amplified. And I think for Dobbins, again, these ACL injuries, you can never take them too seriously. And you want to make sure that with him coming off the PUP list, you're not just, you know, thrusting him into action on day one. You want to, again, gradually build up that workload, figure it out. So for the rest of the offseason, I personally don't anticipate him playing in the preseason. I'd be rather shocked if he did. Because the Ravens, I think, again, we've heard from John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, Justin Houston, some of those veterans will not play. I think, again, for the PUP guys, it's a pretty wide, long shot that they're going to play at all. So leading up to the week one game against the Jets, I think we'll see him just continue to add. And then once we actually get to week one, you know, maybe playing around 50% of snaps, maybe a little less than 50 to kind of ease him into action. Because the Ravens, with their depth, they don't necessarily have to have him be a 80, 90% snap player off the bat, which I think for his knee and just his recovery is a good thing.
Yeah, Kevin, I thought that the knee, I thought he probably had like 5 to 10 degrees left of flexion that he needed to get. The left knee did look a little, you know, stiff, I thought.
Yeah, and I think for a player, again, coming off a major injury like that, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I know there were some people who were, you know, saying that why is he looking stiff a little bit? Why is he not looking full strength? You know, it's his first practice back. I'd expect him just to kind of be, you know, feeling out his body a little bit. And again, as he kind of ramps up that physical activity, getting on the field, when he starts getting back into team stuff, I know it was more in the individual realm yesterday. When he starts getting into that, I think we will start to see that burst that he had, and we'll just see what type of player he is. He's a very young player. He's recovered from this injury. He's able to be back on the field, and really it was great to see how much it meant to him. You could kind of see it when he was coming out, high-fiving the kids, and just how excited he was to be back. He's noticeably been chomping at the bit to get back, obviously, telling Ian Rappaport he's going to be back by week one. And I mean, he's back on the practice field now, and it feels like there's a lot of hope that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, and to me, what I'm interested in, especially on Thursday night, is I want to see the running backs. You know, I want to see come Saturday when the depth chart comes out who's, you know, who's 2, 3, and 4, you know, going into practice on Saturday.
Yep, I 100% agree. And the great thing about what they did this offseason is partially the fact that these guys, the Tyler Beatty's, Mike Davis, Corey Clement, et cetera, they have the full offseason with their new team. Whereas you're looking at when J.K. Dobbins got injured, Gus Edwards got injured, even Justice Hill, those guys got injured like 2 weeks, 10 days before the season started. So they're bringing in Devonta Freeman and Le'Veon Bell, Latavius Murray. They have to pick up a whole new playbook, learn the mesh point with Lamar Jackson. It took a little bit of time there, and it really pushed into the regular season. So that's a really big part for these guys to have this preseason action, to get on the same page and just be in the offense in a live game setting, even if it is the preseason. That's really important. I also think what they're trying to do is maybe use the running backs out of the backfield a little bit more as pass catchers, and I think that's a really good thing for the offense for Lamar Jackson. It gives him more weapons. Mike Davis, a good pass catcher, Tyler Beatty. I think we were going to see it with Dobbins and Edwards, but the injuries obviously last year didn't really let us see that. So I think for the running backs on Thursday, it's going to be huge to see who can step up. It's a big step, this first preseason game in this Ravens offense, and I'm excited to see it.
Kevin, I thought yesterday that Bateman, he looked frustrated. You know, I mean, he and Lamar were not connected. They were like 1-for-7. I mean, they had no connection yesterday, and I think Bateman's body language was not good. You know, he looked extremely frustrated. What was your opinion?
You know, for the wide receiver group in general, it's really interesting to see the connections Lamar Jackson has formed. Because you go back to, like, the stadium practice, and, you know, Rashad Bateman, Lamar Jackson is hitting on everything, you know, touchdown, connection. And now we've seen some other guys step up. You know, James Prochet's had a really nice couple days of practice here at Devin Duvernay back mm-hmm. on the field. He's had a couple nice plays, also that number five spot. So Bateman is somebody who, again, this offseason worked for him. You want to get all that out now. You know, get all the frustrations, the drops, whatnot, get it out in August, not out in January. That's what training camp is for. But the number five receiver spot, too, is something that I'm really intrigued about and have been for a while. We've seen Jalen Moore step up. Jamar Bridges has looked good. Slade Bolden as well. There have been others. Benjamin Victor making some plays. So those are other guys, too, where if the Ravens keep five wide receivers, that's currently where I'm at. They're going to have a tough decision to make because they have a lot of good guys there for that role.
Yeah, that's going to be another nice battle. And you know what, Kevin, what they could do is you know, none of those guys are going to get claimed. They could put them all on this practice squad, bring them up when they need to. But well, I thought Kyle Hamilton, he had a good day. You know, and the interception – you know, towards the end of practice, there was an impressive play. And I just think, you know, let him – people want to get on him. Just let it be. It's coming.
Yep. The thing I just said about, you know, letting these guys learn in training camp. You know, Kyle Hamilton, he's like 2 weeks into his first ever NFL training camp. He was a consensus top 10 pick by many people. And I think a lot of people – really see that Bailey Gaither rep that happened during the stadium practice and they're saying, well, why can't he do that? The Ravens right now, you know, they're able to experiment with a lot of their guys, trying to put them in positions, figure out where they can be best, where they can maybe have areas to improve upon. This is a very talented player, a very talented draft pick, somebody who most people thought would not be anywhere near number 14. And his track record at Notre Dame obviously speaks to that and what he's able to do on the football field in college. So, yeah, I agree. You know, just kind of let this training camp ride out. Let him learn. You know, there might be a rookie mistake here or there on the field in the regular season, and that's okay because he's young, he's learning. In his NFL action, I think his career is going to be a really good one. And for me, the safety depth that they have there with Hamilton, with Chuck Clark, with Marcus Williams, et cetera, they're set at that position. I think Hamilton is going to be a really big part of it.
Kevin Allstriker, what's happening on Ravens Wire USA today on the eve of the preseason opener?
Yeah, it's a busy time over here on Ravens Wire, putting out content, newsers. We have some bold predictions coming out soon for this first preseason game in terms of young guys who could step up. It's exciting. Football's back. The site is buzzing. I'm really excited about it.
Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy Thursday's game.
Absolutely, guys. You too. Thanks so much.
Kevin Allstriker, it's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around. Yankees did the Orioles a favor last night. We'll talk about that. College football, the coaches poll came out yesterday. A familiar name, team, I should say, on top, at least in August. And this day in Orioles history, bottom of the hour, Orioles reliever Nick Vespi joining us. And then a fun house trip with Nolan McGraw.
Vinny and Haiti's whip around. Today's biggest headlines, 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time for the whip around here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Last night, Major League Baseball out in the Great Northwest. Seattle Mariners in a position of strength in the wild card in the American League, hosting the Yankees, who had lost five in a row, including getting swept by the St. Louis Cardinals, but Aaron Judge and crew, and a closed-door meeting, apparently, with Aaron Boone. Yanks were like, nah, that's enough of this nonsense.
Judge drills that. Deep center field. Kelnick looking up. It is gone. Number 44 for Aaron Judge. And the march to history gets a little closer.
Yes Network, Yankees TV on the call there. 9-4 was the final, and the Yankees, by winning, helped the Orioles, because the win helped the Orioles move to within a game of the American League wild card. Right now, they're a game behind Seattle. Let's see, game and a half behind Tampa, and they are three games behind Toronto. Now, today's schedule in the American League as it relates to the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
Got the White Sox at Kansas City for a doubleheader. 4:10, first pitch. Remember, the White Sox were big favorites to win the AL Central. And here they are kind of scuffling to stay in the mix in the wild card discussion. But they've got Kansas City, a laboring team. But we'll see how it all unfolds for Tony La Russa and his crew. Atlanta's at Boston. Boston's five out. Chris Sale broke his wrist riding his bicycle over the weekend.
Yeah.
So he's out for the year. A guy they paid a ton of dough to throw baseballs for them. And he's been hurt pretty much for most of the season anyway. Guardians are at the Tigers. You got the Rays at the Brewers.
Ooh.
Right, Milwaukee in the wild card mix in the NL. Let's see. You've got the Twins at the Dodgers, because now that, you know, Cleveland and Minnesota are kind of haggling.
Yeah.
You got that going on, so we got to keep an eye on the Twinkies. And then the Yankees and Mariners again coming up tonight. Gerrit Cole.
He struggled last. He got ripped the last
time. Yep, against Luis Castillo for Seattle. So, I mean, you need the Yankees to win. And then, first of all, the Orioles just have to handle their own business and then let chips fall.
Yes.
Where they may, but that's your slate of games in the American League as it relates to the wild card chase here in the American League as we sit on August the 9th. College football, Maryland opens their season September 3rd. You got practice, first padded practice open to the media today.
Nice.
Out at 2:30 in College Park, and we'll be talking about Maryland a lot. Mike Loxley, as a matter of fact, head coach, joins us later in the week. But the rankings came out, at least for the coaches' poll.
Yep.
And a guy that was lamenting a rough season yesterday, at least for now, he's the A number one guy. This dude, remember him?
Last year we had kind of a rebuilding year, so we should have 9 starters back on offense, 9 on defense, but 6 guys go out early for the draft. So that in and of itself creates a few more question marks, but it also creates opportunity for other players to be able to shine in the program and contribute in a positive way.
I mean, you got to love the guy. He's talking like they're 8-4 last year.
Right.
They won the SEC championship game. They made it to the championship game.
Yeah.
Their quarterback won the Heisman Trophy. And he's talking about it as a rebuilding year.
Mm.
I tell you what, that's a place where the bar is really, really high. When that level of success constitutes as a rebuilding year. Oh, and by the way, how many draft picks, first round picks, did they have again?
Yeah.
What do you say? It's like, oh my God.
Well, let me just.
Teams would kill for that level of success.
Yeah. The thing about it is, well, here's the difference, Bob. Like my first year at Notre Dame, we went 5-6, and there wasn't a lot of pressure. But like the year we won a national championship, like the 5-6 year, Lou was awesome. You know, great. The year we won a national championship, and then like from then on, just because, kind of like that. You know, I mean, winning was a relief. Wasn't fun. You know, it was a relief. Huh, we won that one. You know, and then it's on to the next one. You know, and then on to the next one. So it was, because there's so much pressure and stuff on you, and it wasn't, I mean, to me, we won. Oh, thank God we won. That was a real, so it was, that was not a fun year till the end.
And then the next year, pretty much everybody came back, right, for Notre Dame?
Oh, yeah, we were not expecting.
Unanimous number one
pick
preseason.
And we didn't lose till right at the end to Miami.
So I'm guessing the pressure that year might have been even more intense, even though you had achieved
won like
the
20,
title.
20 in a row or 20, something like that. Yeah. I mean, Bob, it was never fun.
Alabama 1, Ohio State 2. Georgia defending champions 3, Clemson 4. Remember them?
Yeah.
And Notre Dame coming in at number 5. Yeah, votes for Maryland, by the way, in the coaches.
I read, you know, on CBS Sports there that Notre Dame was the most overrated at number 5.
It's awkward. They played a game yet. They do open against Ohio State.
Here's the thing that I learned about being at Notre Dame and stuff, Bob. In all those preseason stuff, we're going to be high. You know why? Because Notre Dame fans and alumni and boosters or whatever buy all that stuff.
It's 88-80-1057, the Fan. Whip around here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. 1979, Rich Dower doubles in Billy Smith at Al Bumbry, bottom of the eighth. Mike Flanagan, a complete game for his 15th win, 3-2 over the Brewers, Memorial Stadium. 30 years ago tonight, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Cal Ripken drives in Mark McLemore. Tito Martinez and Tim Hewlett also had ribbies as Storm Davis got the win in relief of Rick Sutcliffe, 3-2 Orioles over the Indians, 2013. 5-2 Orioles over the Giants out in San Francisco. As the Birds scored 3 runs in the 10th inning because Jim Johnson blew the save. The bottom of the ninth, Chris Davis, 2-run single. Matt Wieters drove in a run. Matt Hardy, he's a wrestler. J.J. Hardy hit a home run, his 20th, as the Birds win that one. Tommy Hunter picks it up, 5-2 over the Giants of San Francisco 9 years ago, believe it or not. Today, when we come back, Nick Vespe, part of this year's Orioles bullpen, left-handed reliever joining us. Birds win last night, 7-4, try to make it 2 straight against Toronto. Me and Mike Bordick live from Pickles tonight at 6. Come on down and say hello if you're going to the game. And then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw, 11:45. News from the Nest coming up at noon. Going to hear from Harbs, going to hear from Justice Hill, going to hear from Mike Davis, plenty others talking about the Ravens. 2 days away from the preseason opener.
Jackson takes it himself. Look at him dart back and forth.
Oh! Caught by Mark Andrews.
What a play!
Football is back, baby.
Your home for the most Ravens coverage.
105.7 The Fan.
Turn it up Tuesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, cranking it up to 11. What do you want to hear loud? Send your song request. Plot Sport text line. 410-583-1057. Orioles Blue Jays game 2 tonight, 7:05 Camden Yards. Me and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick getting you ready for that one. 6 o'clock Pickles. It's Baltimore baseball tonight here on the Fan. It's Bob Haney, Vinny Zerato joining us now. Part of that Orioles bullpen, one of the best in baseball. It's bringing left-hander Nick Vespe. Nick, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on 105.7
The
Fan.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time. Let's talk about the journey. Drafted back in 2015. You've made your way finally to Baltimore here in 2022. Hopefully here to stay. So tell our fans about the Nick Vespe journey from drafted out of the amateur ranks now to pitching in one of the top bullpens in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, you know, I was drafted in 2015 at a Palm Beach State Junior College in West Palm Beach, Florida. And since then, you know, I've been grinding and trying to climb my way through the ranks. Had a front office change there for a bit, and then, you know, just kept grinding through, and here we are.
Now, when the front office changed, and then I guess analytics became a much more prominent part of the Orioles philosophy, what changed for you? How did things, the light come on, Nick, whatever you want to refer to it as, how did things change where Nick was toiling, where now Nick's wearing a major league uniform in a wild card chase?
Yeah, you know, things changed for the better for me, honestly. I kind of throw a different fastball than the norm. So when we got the analytics and all that other stuff, they kind of figured out what I was throwing and what I could be successful in. And we started attacking that. So we honestly found out that I throw a cut fastball naturally, and do the analytics, you know, it really exposed that. And that's what we got.
Hey, Nick, what's it like coming to the ballpark every day now, you know, in a wild card, you know, hunt? So things are exciting. What's it like as a player coming in the locker room every day?
It's amazing. You know, the guys, you show up to the field, everyone's excited. You know, you expect to win the ball game every night. You know, we had a lot of talks from Elias and Hyde, you know, pumping us up, telling us, you know, we got this. So, you know, being from a career minor league guy, and then you're in the major league locker room and you're hunting for the playoffs, it's a really cool experience, and it's fun to play for.
Hey, Nick, talk to me about Rutschman, you know, because do most catchers come in and speak to you, like, you know, after, because I hadn't seen that before, where Rutschman, you know, after the third out, he comes over and, you know, talks whatever, you know, to each pitcher.
Right. You know, that's something Adley does that's unique to him. He comes over to us, you know, good, bad, you know, if we had to grind through a couple outs, but he's just there, you know, to just put confidence in our head and, you know, cause you know, sometimes we go back out there for another inning. So if you come out of an inning and you kind of struggled, but you got through it, you know, Adley's there, you know, to tell you what you did good and what you could do better. And it gets you ready for the next inning.
Oriole reliever Nick Vesby joining us. Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles taking on the Blue Jays tonight, 7:05. Trying to make it two in a row. Only a game back in the American League wild card. And, you know, the rah-rah stuff. And we know the bat's always been of high respect for Adley Rutschman. But tell us about his defensive abilities, the way that he calls a game, the way that he frames pitches. Because, I mean, you've been in the organization and you saw, Nick, that the pass ball was not the Orioles' friend in previous seasons. Talk about Adley's defensive abilities and how that alone has helped improve a lot of things in that pitching staff.
Yeah, you know, when you have a guy like Adley behind the plate, you know, you have confidence in all your pitches in any count. You're not afraid to spike an off-speed pitch, or you're not afraid to go in on a hitter or outside on a hitter. You know, for us pitchers, we grip our pitch and throw it because we know, you know, it's either Adley's going to make it look really good or make a really good pitch look even better. So, yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome to be able to throw a guy like him.
Hey, Nick, what was it like on Saturday night? You know, 41,000 people screaming. You know, what was the environment like?
Oh, that place was electric. You know, that was actually my first time ever throwing in front of that many fans. And just the feeling, you know, that the whole team had, we were so pumped up, and that plays a huge role in to our game. So that was super exciting to see, and I know we're definitely looking forward to more of that.
Hey, you talked about a couple of minutes ago, Nick, that Mike Elias and Brandon High giving you the Newt Rockne about this playoff run. There were a lot of concern from the fans that after Lopi and Trey Mancini were traded away, that it could have been, you know, something that may have affected the clubhouse adversely. What was that kind of 24, 48-hour window like? And you know, look, you're 6-1 every last seven games. I mean, the results speak for themselves.
Right. You know, so I wasn't up there when guys were getting traded at first. I was there a little bit after. But, you know, at the end of the day, this game is a business, and you got to roll with what's in that clubhouse. And, you know, our goal is to win every single game and, you know, make that playoff push. So, you know, it's hard to see those guys go. But, you know, we just got to keep doing our jobs and winning ball games.
Hey, Nick, when you guys are sitting out there in the bullpen and stuff, are you checking out the other teams that you're competing at? Little scoreboard watching, Nick?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, we got the scoreboard over there in right field that has all the games on. So we're always checking that, keeping an eye on the iPads because we get the other games on those. But, yeah, of course, yeah, we're checking it out, seeing what's going on.
Nick Vesby, Orioles relief pitcher, joining us, Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Real quick, Nick, because I know you got a game tonight. Remember all the hubbub about that left field wall being moved back? It looked like the ball was flying out there pretty regularly over the last few days here, for the Orioles at least. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, the balls are flying now. You know, it's warmed up. It's summer is come, so, you know, You get a hold of it, it'll go out there. But, you know, I don't like to focus on that too much because my goal is to not let them go over.
Nick Vesby, appreciate your time. Congratulations on the success for you individually and certainly for the bullpen. Still plenty of baseball left to be played, including tonight against the Blue Jays. Good luck in that pennant chase, man. Wild card chase, too.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, Nick. There's Nick Vespi, Orioles reliever, joining us. Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. So he's pumped. The Orioles are pumped. How about Elias? You guys got this. You got this.
And
that's a 180 from what we remember about 8 days ago.
Right. And then, Bob, how about, Hyder? I heard it on one of the updates or whatever where Hyder's like, no. You know, our guys, we're just in the moment. We don't care. You know, we don't look at whatever
it's
else.
It's like Aaron Rodgers on ayahuasca, man, just to live and you be. Know,
hey, Bob, how many times do you think Hyder checks that scoreboard out there, you know?
Yeah. Well, you can't help. It's a big, giant one sitting right there in front of you. It's Vinny and Eddie. We'll come back. How about a funhouse trip with a guy wearing his Orioles shirt today because he's very excited about the Birds being a game out of the wild card. He's Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest. Talking Ravens coming up top of the hour, hopefully talking money at 12:15. More Ravens talk. Cordell Woodland, bottom of the hour, our Ravens reporter. He was out there. Ravens in pads. J.K. Dobbins is back, and that's a really good.
Works. Sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Ayahuasca, man. Aaron Rodgers. Likes to get his psychedelic on, like it's the 60s, or whatever. We'll talk about that once we get to NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. By the way, former NFL standout, Chad Brown, linebacker for the Steelers, New England. If memory serves, and help me out here, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure the Ravens made a run at him in free agency. When he left the Steelers or New England.
Chad?
Because Marvin Lewis and he had a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm thinking so. Could be wrong. But now part of the Pac-12 network, All-American at the University of Colorado. We'll talk NFL with him at 1:15. And we'll get into Aaron Rodgers and his lifestyle choices. Let's just say he's a free spirit. I think we have figured that out.
Yes,
old number 12. Over the years, and we got news from the Nest coming up next. We'll talk about the Ravens, and Vinny was there, and we'll talk about the things he saw yesterday, 2 days away from the start of the preseason against the Tennessee Titans. J.K. Dobbins back good. Linderbaum not a Liz Frank. I guess that's good. Poor body language, Rashad Bateman. That's bad.
Yeah, he didn't have a good day yesterday.
And he was hurt, so he missed practice Friday. He did return. But the Ravens wide receiver group, a little bit questionable.
Yeah. Right, I thought it a little sloppy yesterday, which, it's hot, and then they had a day off on Sunday. So I didn't think it was real crisp.
Orioles tonight taking on the Blue Jays. We're talking about that as well. Me and Mike Bordick and Norm, we're going to be down at Pickles Pub for Baltimore baseball tonight, getting you ready for Game 2. Alec Manoah is on the hill, so expect a low-scoring game. I would think. So the Orioles, Kyle Bradish going to have to bring his A game, and hopefully that'll be a pretty strong one tonight as well. But Nolan McGraw, get in here for a sec. So how you feeling there, Quick Draw? Your boys are only a game out of the wild card.
Feeling great. I mean, we were down at Pickles last night. Vibe was always great at Pickles, even though the humidity was off the charts.
Is there more people coming now?
Yesterday went a lot of people. Not as many as the previous week.
It fills in quick, though. Yeah. I mean, you get down there, it's pretty empty, and then before you know it, it's like, wow, I mean, where did all these people come
right.
from?
Right. Saw a lot of Blue Jays jerseys.
Was a lot
there.
Of Blue Jays fans, mm-hmm. yeah.
Really?
So they're coming down representing their team, which is in the wild card chase. But, we can only fill one seat, and if you're coming down to the game, stop by, say hi to us. We'll be at Pickles getting you ready from 6 to 7 for that fun. And then J.K. Dobbins is back, Norm, so that's got to be good news for you.
It's fantastic news. When that came out yesterday, I log on Twitter here. I see a video of him running, doing some individual drills. I know, Vinny, you were talking about seeing him in person.
Mm-hmm.
Still not quite 100%, but seeing him run.
Doesn't have that full flexibility yet,
nope.
right?
Right. Nope. But just seeing him run, great sign, because, it hasn't even been a full year since the injury happened. So
correct.
To be out there, pads, running around, I'm sure he'll be working his way into team drills before you know it.
So if he's back now, as we talked about earlier, leads us amateur medical people to believe that September 11th against the New York Jets, he's going to be getting most of the carries against that defense.
I would think so. You know, or, yeah, depending on how he feels, I would think that he would get most. Because I think, you know, we've heard Harb's, you know, especially if Gus Bus is not ready, you know, having Dobbins and then the next guy is, we don't know, unless somebody really stands out in the preseason game. Let's just say Beatty, you know, has 100 yards in each game. All right, you know, then you deserve to get more run, or Davis, or, you know, any of these guys. Hill.
We're going to hear from Craig Versteeg when we get to news from the Nets coming up here at the top of the hour. Talking about that running back competition, but quick draw. Let's get there. Quick, please, with your funhouse there.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, we've obviously heard a lot about the running backs coming back from injury. Heard a lot about Ronnie Stanley and his recovery. But a texter here saying, what's the deal with Marcus Peters? Seems very quiet when it comes to his rehab.
I think, you know, he's a veteran guy. He's not going to play in any of the preseason games. And maybe they've said, you know, how much do you need? I'm guessing he'll start practicing maybe when they go to Arizona, or as soon as they get back from Arizona. I'm guessing that's when he'll start ramping it up.
Because he went down the same day as Gus Edwards, right? Last year?
Mm-hmm. One here on Lamar, a texter saying, do you think the extra weight that Lamar packed on this offseason will have any impact on his running this season?
Doesn't look like it. He looks fine running around out there. You know, but it has had an effect on his velocity on the football, which has been a plus.
Over to the Orioles, text here saying, Gunner, the number one prospect in baseball, no good reason for him not to be up with the major league club right now. Just no reason at all.
Well, you know what? I don't disagree with that at all. You know, if you start the service clock, that means free agency creeps in. And if he plays like the number one prospect, then he's going to be the guy that's going to want some serious dough. How about this scenario? Not knowing what the end game is going to be for the Angelos brothers, mm-hmm, and ownership of the team. Whoever calls the shots gives Mike Elias carte blanche. Where Rutschman, Henderson, you buy out their arbitration years. You sign them to extensions like Atlanta's done with Acuna and with the Albies and with Franco, with Tampa. Just go ahead and pay them now.
Did Houston
like
do that?
Like the old commercial.
Did Houston
pay me
that?
Now or pay me later?
Did Houston do that?
Well, a lot of, like Springer split via free agency.
No,
as
no,
they
like
Correa.
When they first.
Nah, I don't recall them doing that, no.
This one here says, I appreciate the love for Jorge Mateo, but still batting under 220 on the year. Everyone gets hot once in a while. Great defensively, but he'll never be an everyday player unless you have an unbelievable offensive team around him.
Well, he's hitting over 300 since the All-Star break. And the Orioles have the best record in the American League since the All-Star break. So we'll at least give him credit for what he's accomplishing here. His wars. Look, I wasn't buying him being the next defensive gem, but Mike Bordick, who's played a high level of shortstop himself at the major leagues, says this is among the best shortstop plays ever seen from Jorge Mateo. And that's a guy that played shortstop, yeah, in the majors and played it well. He wasn't some slappy. Bordy was a really good shortstop.
Yeah, I was surprised at how much praise Bordy was, you know, talking about Mateo.
He was like putting gravy on them mashed potatoes.
Yes, he was.
We'll close with one from Ray in Baltimore here in reference to Orioles attendance, saying, look, the fans showed up. Ravens had no issue having a great crowd for an open stadium practice just a couple weeks ago. Says doesn't think crime is an excuse at that point. Orioles fans, let's be honest, they can do better when it comes to attending games.
Yeah, nobody's denying that. You go back to 16, the last year they actually made the playoffs. They had 20,000 for games in September. I can't answer the question, though. You know, when people call in and go, well, why aren't they going to the games? I don't know.
Right. Well, there's no one answer.
There's a multi-layered part of it. It's not cheap, for one. You have cable, for two. I mean, are people afraid of going downtown? I'm sure to some level, probably. But I can't speak for the entirety of Baltimore. I can only speak for myself. I mean, what do you want me to say? What do you think, Norm?
Oh.
Let's ask you.
Norm's corner over
here. Yeah, let's get Norm in here.
I've said,
we're going to box you in like Wilfred Benitez.
Keep
but
it
you
got
to counterpunch your way out like Wilfred did. Because Wilfred would get in the corner, and you think you have him, and then you get like five uppercuts to the face, and you'd be backing off, and before you know it, he'd flip you, and you were in the corner getting pummeled.
I've long said this.
Yes.
What we were just talking about. There's no one universal reason. You ask 10 people that stopped going to games, you found 10 people that don't go anymore, say, hey, what's your reason? You probably get 10 different answers. So to try to pinpoint one individual thing, I just think it's foolish.
Way to make it clear and concise.
Yeah, thanks.
Nolan McGraw. We'll be staring at the stadium. Actually, I think I am going in for a couple innings tonight. You know, $300 cable bill. You got to get your money's worth. At football, I've already explained that. The glorious way to watch football. You got the Red Zone on one TV because I got the two TVs set up.
All right.
And then the Ravens on the other. There's a cooler of beer sitting right next to me. There's a bathroom there with not 17 people standing in line before I can get in.
And it's not loud and everybody's screaming.
I've been to 100 football games. Been there, done that. I'm just enjoying the ride when it comes to that. By the way, Ravens have a game Thursday night, M&T Bank Stadium against the Tennessee Titans.
7:30.
7:30 kickoff. We'll come back, talk Ravens news from the nest. Craig Versteeg, Ravens running back coach, met with the media. He's got maybe the most interesting camp battle of them all. And we're going to hear from him here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.